That's actually Spanberger.
Oh.
Abigail Spanberger.
Oh, wow.
And I've always done political things. So after we spent 3 weeks in Pennsylvania last fall trying to support Harris Walls, but of course that didn't work. So after a month of grumbling back here, I said in December of last year, well, I've got to do something. So I contacted the Spanberger campaign, and to get on the ballot, you have to take a petition around, and you have to have, for governor in Virginia, you have to have 10,000 signatures, including 600 from each of the congressional districts. So I volunteered, and I went in December to the Arlington Democratic Committee, and I got over 30 people to sign up to be my workers, and we ended up with over 1,500 signatures to get her towards the 10,000. So I got invited to a little activity because I was heading this little group. But anyway, so I started at Wakefield, 69. After 2 years, I said, well, this isn't for me. Wakefield was a big comprehensive high school, still is. As most every high school in the country is the same, with the phrase comprehensive high school, meaning it teaches everything. It's not a trade school, it's not an academic school, it teaches all kids, all subjects. So my grandfather lived here in Arlington and was a lawyer for the government for years. So I said, well, I'll go to law school, like my grandfather, become a lawyer, because, you know, I'm all of, what, 26 and still have planning my future, right? So I took the LSAT. Where are you in school?
I'm going to be going to Arlington Tech next year.
Oh, great, great. And what, a junior?
Junior, yes.
Okay. The LSAT is the law school aptitude test, like the SAT. And you've already taken that once?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I'm a terrible student. Lower half of my high school class. But I'm a really good test taker. So I got a 95th percentile on the law school aptitude test and got accepted at local law schools. And I said, okay, at the end of the year, 71, I will go off and go to law school. My wife was working, and so, you know, back then, one income could actually support a family. Not true anymore. And but then I had, the lore is, we were driving from Pittsburgh, where friends of mine lived and where I grew up, to Cleveland, where my parents were then living, in our 1966 VW camper. And I'm driving, and I said, and we're talking about education. And I said, well, Sarah, write this down. And I dictated a 5-page memo. And the first half of it was what to do about changing Wakefield and addressing issues I saw there. But the second half of it was, well, that's not really going to get anywhere. So what we need is a whole new school in Arlington. And so the second half of it was several pages of this imaginary school. And that document got circulated around Arlington. And then in March of 71, the school board was closing 3 elementary schools because they were building new schools, and so they had little schools to close. And they were having a public hearing to decide what to do with the buildings. And back then, the school board was not elected. It was appointed by the county board. And they had a hearing because if they didn't have a use for it, they'd have to give it back to the county. And so various people were asking for them to keep it and use the building for something. I got it. And the buildings were a Woodlawn, Langston, and and Lee. And so I gave my proposal to the teachers union head guy named Bill Kay. And so the teachers' union said, well, we want you to keep this and use these buildings for school purposes. And I got a call that night from a kid at Washington Lee, that's what it was known by then, named Jeff Callen. He was a junior. And he said, you know, a lot of us have been talking about new ideas in education, and we really like your proposal. Can you come over to my house tomorrow night and talk to us about it? And my first reaction was, well, the board would never approve it. Famous last words, because that fits to one of your questions. But I went over there to Bill's, and there were about 20 people there, because there were student activist groups at the high schools and citizens who wanted to change things. And so suddenly we had a whole committee. And 2 weeks later, we went back to the school board and said, we want to formally propose this. We now have a countywide committee. And we had a student, teacher, and parent from each of the three high schools then give a presentation. Now, I didn't know anything about, you know, Arlington's community workings. But Jeff's mother was a big wheel in the Democratic Party. And ABC, which way back then was more powerful than either the Republicans or the Democrats, was Arlington's for a Better County. And it had been started after World War II for the federal workers living in Arlington who, because of the Hatch Act, could not be involved with a political party. That's all been changed now. So anyway, the board listened to our proposal. And they had reached out to a couple board members. So in advance, they knew they were going to get a motion to ask the superintendent to review this, which they passed. And the superintendent, Dr. Clark, had his staff look at it. And they came back a month or so later and reviewed it. And then on May 27th, they voted to approve it. So that's 7 weeks. And then we opened in September in Woodlawn Elementary, had been Woodlawn Elementary. So that's the origins of what now everybody just says HB, but of course it was only the Woodlawn program for grades 11 and 12 that first year. And then a whole bunch of parents said, well, what about, at that point, junior high kids, 7, 8, 9, because the high schools were 10, 11, 12. This is an old-fashioned way of school divisions. But I got a call from the associate superintendent, Dr. Wilson, who was really the brains behind the school system back then. And he said, Ray, you know, we're opening next year this new 7, 8, 9 school. That's going to be kind of like your school. And you've got 11, 12, but we've got 10th graders. What happens to them? I said, well, I don't know. I said, well, you're going to get them. Woodlawn's going to become 10 through 12. So then the second year, we were 10 through 12 through 1978. And in 1978, the school system had been shrinking in enrollment. And by 78, the Yorktown enrollment was getting perilously close to just 1,000 kids. You know, it's well over 2,000 now. And Yorktown was going to, this is the behind the scenes real reason why decisions are made. Yorktown would no longer be allowed to play sports against other Northern Virginia high schools because it would fall below the enrollment level. And they would have to play small high schools out in the Shenandoah Valley. So the board said, what are we going to do about that? And there were various proposals. And the one they came up with is put the ninth grades in the high schools. So Yorktown will pick up, you know, 400 or 500 kids, and then they'll be saved to play sports. Well, Dr. Wilson called me up again. He said, well, Ray, you'll now be 9, 10, 11, 12, HB will only be 7 and 8. And they'll only have, you know, 100, 150 kids. And that's not big enough to run a school. So, Ray, your school is going to merge with HB, Woodlawn Program HB, and open it as a 7th through 12th school in September. Now, we have 6 junior highs in Arlington. We're getting rid of a third of the kids, putting them in the high schools. So we're going to close a third of those 6 schools. So which do you want, Gunston or Stratford? And so we had a merger committee of the two schools planning for all of this. And we visited both buildings and talked about it, and we opted for the Stratford building. And so in the fall of 78, suddenly it's 7th through 12, and we were there from 1978 to 2019, much longer than it had ever been a junior high. Because it was a junior high from 50 to 78, that's 28 years. So we were there for over 40 years. And then in 1990, the school board, trying to be up to date and modern, said, we've left these 7th and 8th graders all by themselves in what we call intermediate schools. But we're going to take the 6th graders from the elementaries and move them up to the intermediate, and they'll become middle schools. That was the new thing back in 1990. And Al Gore, the senator at the time, he and his wife organized a group called to protect leaving the 6th graders in the elementaries. But that didn't work because, they had to do something. So then we became 6th through 12 in 1990. And which is still what it is today. Now they've tacked on a bunch of other programs in our building. So we've got the Shriver School for multiple handicapped kids who can't earn a regular high school diploma, either because of physical or mental disability. There are about 50 kids, and that program's been going on for ages in Arlington. And they moved in with us at the Stratford building in 96 or 97. And then later on, the issue is mentally handicapped but smart kids, smart enough to get diplomas. So HB Woodlawn became the place to put kids who were Asperger's, on the continuum of autism, minor version Asperger's to serious kids who were really autistic. And they were added, I'm not sure, somewhere between 2005 and 2010. It was after I retired. And they're there too. So the school, I started with 171 kids the first year, and it's now 700 and some. But when people would talk to me and say, well, what's it like, Ray? I would say, it's the same. And they would laugh and say, well, that's not true. And so the numbers, of course, are different. The location, we're in our third building. But I would just say, well, Chris, is there a town meeting once a week? I'd say, yeah. Do the teachers find their students, address them by their first name? Yeah. Do kids have free blocks when they don't have any classes? Yeah. Can they leave campus anytime they want? Yeah. Go on and on, So in a sense, the delivery of instruction is fundamentally the same because it fits with the founding ideology of the school, which you also asked me about. And that is that not all people are the same. So, what's your home school?
Yorktown, I think.
Okay, so that's where you have gone to school.
I was in the private system.
Oh, okay. Before. But if you went to your neighborhood school, that would be Yorktown. Okay, and now you've got Arlington Tech. which is sort of like a bit of the old career center, which is what we had back in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000, whatnot. So, you know, I like to say that the comprehensive high school is supposed to teach everybody. But in fact, not all kids are the same. And they have different interests and approaches and intellectual capabilities and emotional capabilities, etc. And at least a third of high school kids don't really fit in the comprehensive high school model for one reason or another. And that, in fact, having a variety of choices makes a lot of sense. So, for instance, at Arlington Tech, you're going to do a lot of hands-on work, which your classes at Yorktown would tend to not do that much of, just as an example. Now, when we started, while I was at Wakefield, there were lots of interesting things going on. The head of the student body, Danny Graham's dad, General Daniel O. Graham, was head of DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency. And Danny got up and said, all of these protests here at the school, they're really communists. Sounds like today, even. You know, more of a threat then than now, of course. And after all, the new mayor of New York has declared himself as a democratic socialist, like Bernie. Well, anyway, there had been racial integration of the high schools in the 60s. By the time I got at Wakefield, January 69, it had been several years where the old black junior-senior high school was in a building on South Queen Street called Hoffman Boston.
Oh, yeah.
Now, who were Hoffman Boston? Hardly anybody knows this anymore. They were, because it was a black junior-senior high school, they were early black educators in the segregated school system of Arlington. And so when we finally ended up merging, Dr. Wilson said, you can't be H period B period, because that sounds like first and middle name, last name Woodlawn. So it's H hyphen B Woodlawn. Just like Washington Lee was Washington hyphen Lee. Because the university out there in the Shenandoah Valley, Washington and Lee University. Of course, now it's Washington Liberty. And it's not Lee Highway, it's Langston Boulevard. But it's not the black poet. It's named after an early black politician in Virginia.
Yes.
Okay, so, when I was at Wakefield, I was head of the student government, the advisor. I was also the advisor for the sports teams, like running the food places at the football field. So I was involved with a lot of things. Then along came a group who wanted to do something different. And it was kind of nationwide, but it happened particularly here in the Washington area, called EFFE, Experiment in Freeform Education. And a couple of schools in Montgomery County did it. Fairfax had a variation they called ALP, Alternative Learning Project, inside of McLean High School. And it lasted for a few years. But we did something at Wakefield for 2 years, and I got involved with that. And so, looking at educational ideas and whatnot helped me kind of formulate what I thought this ideal school would be like. But it's basically like the school I wish I had gone to when I was in high school. I went to a college prep kind of high school outside of Pittsburgh, which is a lot like Washington Lee was back then. And so all the institutions we built into it, and I say we because we had a group of students, teachers, and parents all coming together to open the school that fall. Now, one of the oddities of life is I told Dr. Wilson, great, I'll take the job. You know, it's end of May. I need teachers and students. Or no, I guess he said to me, you'll need teachers and students. So I said, well, I will organize recruiting at the high schools. And the board had decided we could have 90 juniors and 90 seniors. And we barely made that number. But some of the kids who signed up changed their minds. A retired attorney in Washington, who I know very well, signed up. And then she said, no, I don't want to go there. I'll never get into college, going to a high school that nobody has ever heard of. Which is incorrect, but you know, it sounded logical to her. And I'm sure it was her parents who told her that. So all of those things I mentioned are in the notion of student empowerment. So the key formulating principle is students are responsible for themselves in all aspects. Running the school. Once a week, the town meeting meets and it makes all the decisions about the school. You know, within whatever the school board tells us and whatnot. But as principal, I was one vote. Obviously, the students could outvote the teachers. And it still goes on every Thursday at, I think, 11 a.m. So the notion of calling your teachers by your first name is to symbolize equal power structure. So it's not hierarchical on down, but it's a flat organization. In other words, power is evenly distributed to everybody. If I wanted to talk to the principal, I had to get an appointment with his secretary, Chloe Davies, and explain why I wanted to meet with the principal, and then she would let me know whether I could or not. That's a pretty hierarchical system. But that fits my notion of education. At Penn State, I took the only course offered on a tutorial basis. Happened to be in the philosophy department. So I met a professor once a week for a semester, and I wrote a 50-page paper on a guy named Ludwig Wittgenstein, a popular philosopher of the 60s and 70s. I've tried out, you know, things, you know, to fit kind of what a view I have. Now, it turns out that first year, all of the kids were just really radical. So 71-72, that was an election year, 72. Nixon was running for re-election. Have any idea who's running against him from the Democrats?
I actually don't.
George McGovern. Okay. And Nixon won 49 states. He didn't get Massachusetts and the District of Columbia from an electoral college point of view. So it was a total wipeout. But 12 H.B. Woodlawn students who were turning 18, so they were eligible to vote in the fall of their senior year, went down with me, and we were all delegates to the summer Democratic National Committee. Happened to be in Roanoke. And we drove my VW bus, and my bus got a picture on the front page of the local paper, because on the side of it was a big sign, "Power to the People." All the lefties right from Northern Virginia. Okay, so that gives you the context of why would this happen? Now, you said, why would the school board vote for that? There were three Republicans and two Democrats, but they all voted for it. And I can say, well, you remember those times, right? Well, you don't. You probably don't either. But there was the civil rights movement, the women's movement, anti-war movement, etc. Everybody was looking for change. So it just so happened this idea came along, and fit into, let's try something different. Well, for the school board, it was, we've got a lot of controversy going on in the schools. Some of the schools said, let me just stop. Teacher.
Yeah, you were the...
And I taught U.S. history for 33 years at H.P. Woodlawn. So the whole board was kind of willing to try something different, including a guy named Homer Lee Kraut, who was the administrative director for the local congressman, a guy named Joel Broyhill, who was a real reactionary Republican. Well, Homer Lee Kraut's granddaughter graduated from Woodlawn a few years ago, and a bunch of our graduates have been teachers in the school system, including at H.P. Woodlawn. The current principal, Casey Robinson, is Woodlawn class of 95. And I know a bunch of students who go there, and there are half a dozen other teachers who were also graduates from way back. So that keeps the kind of, well, I know why we do that, because when I was here, you know, they can tell those kind of stories. But it's the most conservative school in Arlington. It doesn't want to change a thing. Now, the reality is, because this fits another one of your questions, there are generations of high school students in the United States, and you're a junior. Next year after the next, you'll be a senior. The events of your lifetime, the last couple years and the next couple, will be your formative experiences for life. I would tell this to the kids, and they say, oh, no, no.